Great to have you with us this morning on, well, it's a fresh morning, but the weather started to change. How good to have Adam and Paul in, a couple of good country boys there up at Kilmore, doing good things for the community, keeping the footy club going and the Toyota dealership firing up, so it's great.
Unusual, you're pretty good at spotting people that you know, but you went to school with Paul, and you only realised that after the interview, didn't you? Like, he's changed a bit over the years, obviously.
At the same school, not right. In the same class. He was a year below.
Well, he said that he knew you back in the day, so a bit disappointing that you couldn't remember him.
Sorry, man. He's bald.
He's probably changed
He's
a bit.
Bald. He's got no hair.
You know who actually he looks like? Yeah. He looks a lot like Dean Wallace.
Yeah, I don't know if you take that as a compliment or not.
Why? Some people have got hair, some people haven't, Gary. I mean, it's a fact of life.
The chutney calls.
You're
still
one
coming,
of the lucky ones.
Still coming through loud and clear. My cousin's wife is one of the best cooks of all time.
Yep.
She says, yes, of course there's sugar. How could Tim not know that?
That's true.
Is it just a pinch of salt? Imagine making chutney with just salt and no sugar. It'd be awful.
It would be. It would be. Mm. And I got it wrong. And when you get things wrong, Gary, you know what you do? You just admit it and you move on.
No, you move on.
You apologise, you admit it, you move on.
Okay, let's get into
which is exactly
the...
what we should do. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the Patrick Cripps stuff first?
Let's kick off Patrick Cripps.
Okay, so he goes to the trial, which they were always going to do. And given the Rioli, a lot of people thought maybe he was going to get off. Didn't get off last night, so he's going to miss another two games, which is a huge, huge blow for Carlton where they're at right now. They lose their skipper. They've already got two of their more important parts of their midfield unable to play at the moment in Hewitt and Kennedy.
Yep.
And then there's the personal side to it too. I would think Patrick Cripps would be somewhere around about in the Brownlow medal voting, would he, or not?
No, I think the back half of the year, probably not. He might be up there in the first half, but as a captain of the club, he'd be taking responsibility for the fact that those big guns are out of the midfield and now he's also out.
Okay, so on that point then, you say take responsibility. Given what he did, now that he's been given a two-week penalty, do you think that he would apologise to the group for what he did or
he wouldn't have to, but he might. But we should tell people why. They'd be sitting there going, why? What is the difference between Rioli? According to the tribunal, and this was the reason, that he could and should have contested differently and prevented what was a high risk of head injury. That's the determination.
Okay, that's their determination.
Yeah, and that's the way I saw it.
And I didn't, but that's the way it is.
And that's why it is such a hard thing to get your head around. But the bottom line is he's going to be out now for 2 weeks, and not that it's over for them, but it's going to make it a lot harder, isn't it? He's such an important player.
Yeah, well, Cripps is fifth in the AFL Coaches Award voting, so he's right up there still.
I take it back.
Yeah, you should.
Well. He may very well be.
He's only just behind Tuke Miller, Lockie Neal, Clayton Oliver and Christian Petrarca, and it's going to be very tight at the top. So he's on 75 votes for the Coaches Award. Mm. The leader's on 88. He's now going to miss two games, so it could be very much in the frame to win the Brownlow.
How good for Queensland?
We can't win the Brownlow, but in the Brownlow voting.
How good for football in Queensland that the people who are leading the AFL Coaches Association MVP are both Queensland, playing up in Queensland.
Yeah, what about that?
Lockie Neal.
Great observation from you. Josh Kennedy retired yesterday. He will be remembered as one of the great Sydney Swans midfielders of all time, would he not?
It's a beautiful CV to retire on. Premiership, captain, three-time All-Australian, three-time Best and Fairest winner, AFL Coaches Award, and the most contested possessions in VFL AFL history. No one's had any more contested. And what about the people behind him? Ablett Jr., Dangerfield and Selwood.
Unbelievable.
That's a fair resume.
That's right. And one of those guys, when they stepped out to play, would give his best each and every week. Like, I don't think his performance would ever have dropped below like a 7, 8 out of 10, like effort-wise, ever.
When you retire, you've got to retire. It's always hard when you retire because this is the thing you've known and done and loved and spent your whole life, which has been for Josh. But there would be few that could retire more satisfied that he squeezed a lemon. The only thing that failed him towards the end was his body.
That's right. Yeah.
His mind would take him to the places that, as we just said there, more contested footy than anyone else. We put such a premium on contested ball. Well, there's the bloke who's been the best at it in the history of the game.
And add this to it too. He could have almost or should have won the Norm Smith medal in 2016. If they had won, he probably would have won the medal. Jason Johansson got 10 votes, Josh Kennedy 8, Tom Borge 7, and Liam Picken 5. So he played at his best when it counted most as well for Sydney.
Well, a career.
Great career.
As we said, he's retiring at the end of the year. chances of him playing with on the back of the two massive hamstrings are absolutely slim, but he's going to keep presenting himself. And who knows? You just never do know, depending on how far Sydney go. The big story for me, or the most interesting, a lot of these stories you go, oh, yeah, well, of course, Josh Kennedy, we knew that was happening. And then Melbourne, Jay Clark broke the story that Melbourne are into or are speaking to.
Have spoken to.
Brody Grundy about, I would imagine, filling the void that they suspect. You wouldn't be talking to him if you didn't think that Luke Jackson's going. So let's just put that to the one side, because it's no good talking to him if you... They might hold out a hope that Luke's staying, and on the off chance, you know, Brody, what's the chances of you? How do you see that? Is that something that and the other side of it?
It's just what smart clubs do.
Does Collingwood go, you know, we're happy for, not happy, but if Brody's going to go somewhere, we don't want him to go to a contender. We want him to go somewhere that's not going to be a contender against us, who are hopefully, you know, competing for a fight. What's your reaction? What's your first gut reaction to hearing that?
Well, I think it's just smart. A football club losing one of their young ruckmen and replacing it as best they can, as quick as they possibly can. Like that, that's smart. That's exactly what they should do. I just wonder, though, how he and Maxi Gorn, if they were to how they would work in tandem, those two.
That was my gut reaction.
Because generally there's one ruckman
dominant.
Who is dominant and sits above the other ruckman. Mm-hmm. Although in Melbourne's case, it's been a little bit more about the different ways their two ruckmen play
because,
and what they bring to the game.
Yeah, and there's also a needs basis that Bax is got to go forward and try and clunk a mark, which Melbourne's forwards can't do. A big contest of mark. So,
but has Grundy ever demonstrated that, or has he not demonstrated that because he's been required to play more on the ball as opposed to going forward?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I look at it and go, maybe they see Max transitioning a bit more to that forward role. And they would do that with Luke Jackson, but Luke, you know, is if he goes, then they're thinking, well, Grundy comes in and becomes more the 60-40 ruckman and Max is the 46-40-60, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. That's it was news to me when I heard that and read that from Jay Clark, so I'm trying to get my head around it.
It is an insight, though, too, isn't it, that there are a lot of discussions going on around now about with players. Like, we know, you know, Zerhard's been reported, and we know Dugowie's been meeting with clubs as well. So there are a lot of discussions, clandestine type meetings that are currently taking place out there. And everyone in footy is saying that this will be the busiest pre-national draft trade period in the history of the game.
Which has been said before, but I think that's real this year. If you just... Now, then, Melbourne, I wouldn't think it could pay the $950 or a million, whatever... Grundy's on, so Collingwood would have to...
Why, though?
What do you mean, why?
Well, obviously, they would have been offering Jackson a lot of money anyway.
Not that much.
What would they be offering him? Do you think 700?
Yeah, maybe.
They'd have to go at least that deep.
Yeah, so they'd have to have Collingwood pay some of the deal, right?
Mm.
If you're a Melbourne fan, or if you're a footy fan, what would be better for him, Grundy or Dugowie? If he were to target a Collingwood person in this instance, which is a better fit? Grundy or Dugowie?
It's a needs basis, though, isn't it?
Well, the need is
the need. If Jackson goes, the need is for them to be able to replace Jackson.
And they've got a massive need in their forward half.
Yeah, they have. They have, but it might be that that player's not available now, so they go for the one that is available, potentially, in Grundy.
Dugowie,
and then they go to the draft and they try and find themselves a young forward.
Dugowie's said to be available. He's as available as Grundy.
Yeah, but do you see Dugowie as a forward or do you see him as a midfielder?
Well, you could see between he and Petrarca, you'd get a damn good one of both.
Oh, no, you would. I mean, he'd fit into that team nicely in some capacity. Mm. Taylor Walker, what is it that you want to talk about regarding Taylor Walker this morning?
I was just trying to remember back to the day when this camp stuff, we haven't talked too much about this. Taylor was defensive about the camp. And
well, the whole of South Australia were.
Yeah. This is what he had to say about the camp back on the 2018.
The camp that we went on as a footy club, personally I found one of the most beneficial and most rewarding camp I've ever been on as an individual. And I'd encourage any of my best mates or family members to do the same thing. Our football club, like most other AFL clubs in the competition, are exploring ways of being able to get a edge over other teams in the AFL.
Right.
And that's in the mental space. I think it's one of the best camps I've ever been.
Do you know of any players?
Speak for all of them, yeah.
Do you know of any other players that are mentally disturbed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. So that's March 2018 on Triple M. So and that other voice was obviously Mark Ricciuto too.
So now I guess what is – so Taylor said today in the paper, I did everything I could to help. You know, clearly there were issues
right
at the club from the camp. I put my head on the pillow at night. I tried. I had meetings at home. That must have developed because on March 2018, he wasn't aware of anyone that had any mental issues.
Yeah, and in fairness to him, we don't know what the timeline was, but this is what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I sit here as the captain at the time of the footy club and those boys being past players, not great, to be honest. It's quite upsetting to hear that those guys are still feeling the effects of the camp. What I will say is that the camp, a lot of people took different things out of it. And I personally, I've said it, I took a positive experience out of it. But that does not take away from the feelings of hurt that those boys are going through at the moment.
Yep.
So very cognizant of the hurt now. I guess what, you know, if we had Taylor here, he would say, well, has it developed after I made those statements in 2018 and become aware that there were issues that developed and therefore I had to try and facilitate and mediate. It's just sad. It's a whole thing.
Just to put a full stop on this, so John Olsen, the Crows chairman, also had this to say on SEN South Australia yesterday.
The stories that Eddie Betts and Josh Jenkins recounted last week were confronting. And it clearly indicated that the adverse effects from the camp have been felt and continue. It's our responsibility, first and foremost, to say apologise to them, and that's what we wanted to do. And secondly, to reach out to them, which I've done in both instances, as has Tim Silver, to have a communication with them and Bryce Gibbs and anybody else who might be adversely affected from the camp to address any issues and see where we could be of assistance going forward.
Right now they're doing everything humanly possible to make sure that they apologise and they smooth out any differences that players have with the club and each other, that type of thing. Yeah. Which, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's a bit late for that, but it's never too late to apologise, is it?
No, it's not. But you've got to have good crisis management people, don't you?
Well, of course you do.
At your club when these things happen. You've got to be able to anticipate. You've got to be able to see. You know, you've got to be 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. And, I think Roo, if he had his time again on the day after this all broke on his radio station where he just sort of basically said, oh, I hope Eddie can move on. All those sort of statements now come back and bite you on the backside. So let's hope that they can find some peace and resolution, all those players. And I don't know whether there'll be more players that come out. Maybe there'll be more that come in now. And we've got legal action too being spoken about as well. So I don't think it's particularly going away.
Talking about resolution, do you think the Port Adelaide and Collingwood Football Club have found a peaceful resolution and a satisfactory resolution about wearing the prison bar jumpers?
So the report is...
Very kind offer from Collingwood.
From Ralphie that Collingwood said, look... We'll let you wear the teal jumper in the derby, but black and teal.
The prison bar jumper.
The prison bar. Black and teal, not black and white. How do you reckon that'll go down?
That's not what they're after.
Do you think that's what they're after?
No, they're not after that.
Do you care? Well, who do you? It's not for us to care. We're not.
Yeah, but that's a proud. That's one of the oldest, proudest football clubs in the land. Like, I can't see why you can't acquiesce to what it is that they want to do for one game.
Yeah, but you're not a Collingwood person.
Well, I know I'm not a Collingwood person, but I'm a lover of the game, and I think that anybody that loves the game would see that that is a reasonable thing that they're requesting.
I do too, but it's hard for us to get – and maybe Collingwood fans, let us
– I don't reckon the average Collingwood fan would give a tinker's cuss about this.
Well, let us know.
Honestly, I don't think they would.
If you're an average Collingwood fan, do you just say tinker's cuss or no tinker's cuss? City power upgrades, keeping electricity in Melbourne CBD reliable. I'll give you the weather update after I do the weather walk. Because Brooksy hadn't put it up. Great to have you with us. Lots to talk about today. It's a very busy news day, an interesting news day with two games. Only, in fact, a week and a half of the AFL season left for 8 nine teams in actual fact. So all of the other manoeuvrings are starting in earnest. A week and a half for 10 teams, sorry.
Right.
A week and a half for 10 teams, and for the other eight,
here we go.
A week and a half for 10 teams. So then the other competition's on in earnest, and that is the manoeuvrings, the drafts, the trades,
right,
the clandestine meetings that are taking place. And as someone's rightly pointed out, is it not illegal to sit down with a contracted player if, in fact, that's what happened in the Grundy case?
I would have thought so.
You can talk to the manager. You absolutely can talk to
you
a manager.
You can't meet with I don't think you're allowed to meet with a player from another club while they're under contract, are you? Is there some rule? There should be some rule in our game that prevents that. If we were to put a GoPro, a tiny little one. I've watched a lot of different shows. Like, you can put sort of tracing things on people and that type of thing.
Yeah.
If we were to put one of those on a AFL recruiting person at this time of the year,
yes,
what do you think it might produce?
Oh, if it's my recruiter at my club, I hope he's doing everything that's pushing the boundaries.
And who he's meeting with?
He's meeting with everyone. That everyone is on the radar, and he's knocking on every door of every manager and just asking the question.
And the manipulation is a strong word.
What is a strong word?
But you've also got a manager, say like a Paul Connors and Robbie D'Orazio, their management company, mm-hmm. and there are a number of players that have been discussed at the moment, and they're right in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
which would put them right in the middle of pretty much every conversation that is going on around those players and other clubs as
building blocks, they're little pieces.
That's
in the puzzle.
And they're powerful because they get the opportunity to say, okay, well, maybe we'll move you over here, we'll move you back into here.
Well, they get
can go over here, and they give the club the inside running as to who they can recruit.
Well, if they sit down with TLA, who are the biggest player, and they'd be the next biggest, they could do the whole thing between the two of them.
Well, this is the conversation. These are the conversations that would currently be taking place. And they are powerful. Like, these player managers are really powerful. Super powerful.
Give us some examples of clubs that have met players whilst they've been in contract. So one that's come through here, the Cats flew famously to Adelaide.
Meet with Danger?
Travis Boak.
Yes. And previous to that, though, when they did the Danger deal, they did that too.
Mm-hmm.
But those deals,
Didn't Dusty tour GWS?
Yeah, but players will have, some of these players that we find move clubs at the end of this season may have been in discussion with that club for a couple of years, on and off.
Mm.
Matt's on the road. Good morning, Matt.
Yeah, good day, boys. Just talking about the Port Adelaide jumper. I'm a mad Collingwood supporter, and to be honest, I really don't care if they wear it for a game. I'm just sick of hearing about it. And most of the Collingwood supporters I speak to feel the same.
Okay, so you don't think you think most Collingwood fans don't give a second thought about whether or not Port Adelaide wear this jumper?
Well, not the ones that I've spoken to, no.
Okay, there you go.
That's it, Matty. Good on you, Matt.
Pies fan.
Sally's from Reservoir. She might have an opinion on that. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
We're good, thanks. What are you thinking about the jumper?
I think when Port Adelaide came into the AFL, Collingwood was already there. We had the black and whites, and that was the agreement. Their colours were black, white and teal.
Yep.
Use it against someone else, not against us. They already wear that black and white sometimes, not the stripe one, but that other design they have. They don't put the teal in. But that was the agreement when they came in, so stick to it.
Fair enough, sir.
Fair enough.
See, it's such a vexed issue.
That's right, because you said, now Wisp, during the break, you said what would you have thought had West Adelaide come into the competition?
No, I didn't.
And not,
you said that.
Not Port Adelaide,
yeah.
Because they wear the Essendon. I would have no, as an Essendon person, I'd have no problem with them having, like a bit of red and a little bit of black on their jumper. No problem at all. Wear it over there.
You say it now.
Well, I just think that, there's an opportunity to honour the history of the Port Adelaide Football Club too and what it's meant to the game and be sort of a little bit broader in our thinking than what might exist in some quarters.
Ling Zhong toured the Pies facilities.
He
That's
did.
From Jeff, coming off the old temper text, went and saw the Pies and then didn't get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, GWS, they've been mentioned regarding recruiting Brody Grundy as well, but there's one major problem they've currently got, and that is that they don't have a coach. I mean, that's going to be the first thing that any player prospective recruit wants to know about.
And they're shedding players because of their salary cap issues. That's what they're doing.
Mm.
So if they're shedding now because they've got salary cap issues and then it was having to take on someone like Brody, they might have to shed even harder. I don't
Geelong
know.
Has been mentioned in all this too. They are doing something magical with their numbers and their figures, aren't they? Because yep. apparently they can afford Brody Grundy because they've got salary cap space. How do they do that?
Known fact that they take less to play down.
Well, they must. The players must take a lot less.
Well, Danger at his absolute prime was a should have been a $1.2-1.3 million player. Yep.
And Jeremy Cameron, they recruited him, and not so long ago.
Yes, I don't know how much money these blokes get, but I think Joel, throughout his journey, would have foregone hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to stay there.
They're coming hard now. A lot of Collingwood fans out there are texting through. They do care. I care. I care.
Yeah.
Jason in Mernda, do you care?
Yeah, g'day. Jim, Gary, how are you?
Good on you, Jace. Good, thanks.
I'm a Collingwood supporter, and I'm actually against it. I just think if we give in, give an inch, take a mile, will be the outcome. And the other thing is, I get a bit irritated when people talk about Port Adelaide's history. They're Port Adelaide Power, not Port Adelaide Magpies. So it's not their history.
No, they're all the arguments, Jace. So I hear you. I think if anything was ever to be done, and again, it doesn't worry me because I'm not invested in it, but it would be legislated that it is one game and one game only, and that game is to be the derby against Adelaide, and that is the only time it was to be done, if in fact it got there, Jay. So, but I don't know.
And then somebody else points out, Collingwood are happy to allow Juventus to wear their uniform over in Europe.
Ryan Leaf is going to join us. If you get the chance, Google Ryan Leaf and do a little bit of homework. He's a former number two NFL draft pick, had the world at his feet coming out of college, and his journey is, well, it's instructional. Pressures got to him and ended up in jail and is now redeeming himself. So we're going to have a chat with Ryan out of 8 o'clock. Georgie Samios will be in with the wonderful World of Wine. Mitch Cleary with all of the news. The Channel Wisps, the number one man. And more of your calls and texts. Now, what are you saying number two man for?
I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything.
I said he was the number one man.
Yeah, I know you did. I didn't say anything.
Because he's on our show. If Tom Brown didn't bob up on the M's, I might say he's the number one man. But Mitch Cleary is.
Move on.
Yes, Wisp.
That's a good question. What? That is a very good question.
What is it?
Of the two players,
yep.
You can only keep one.
Which one?
Grundy or DeGoey? Who do you keep?
For Collingwood?
Yeah.
If you're Collingwood? I would keep probably DeGoey.
Because?
He's got more strings to his bow.
Right. So you're saying that he's more important to Collingwood than Grundy, and they've got Cameron and Mason Cox. And
yeah, they've proven that they've got Cameron and Cox. I'm not convinced that, I think Cameron's going to be a really good ruckman, but DeGoey can go forward and he can go into the middle. He's a match winner. And Brody at his best as question mark over whether Brody can get back there. Anyway, that's the way I would be going.
Somebody's also pointed out that Collingwood acquiesced to the NBA referees around the world.
You're going to get yourself into trouble. Steve's in Cremorne. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. I'd agree with DeGoey as well. And just on the Port jumper, they shouldn't wear the black and white stripes. They joined the league about 25 years ago, whenever it was. They were Port Power. There's no history in the black and white stripes, so they shouldn't wear it. But I did ring more specifically around the contract stuff, and it's not related to Grundy itself.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why contracts are being talked about with players at this time of the season. We're just about to go into finals. I don't know why club players have been distracted from their prime job, which is to win football games for their clubs, with contract talks with other clubs and meeting clubs in secret and all this sort of stuff. I don't know why there isn't a little window that's blocked where that stuff can't go on so players can concentrate on doing their job rather than who's going to be paying them next year.
I think it's going to go on forever and a day, Steve. Yeah, regardless of whether we could legislate a week window where it's open slather, but that just means that conversations would be started and then they will continue outside the window. Brody Grundy's finished his career. His season is over.
Yep.
So he might think that now's the time that he can have those discussions if in fact that's what happened.
Can we get a definitive answer or explanation on that? of the rule governing whether or not you can talk to a player of another club while they're under contract?
Yeah, I would have thought no, personally.
We must have a rule somewhere.
Yeah.
Surely we have.
Yeah, well, okay.
Tom's in Bentley. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, Tom. Thanks.
Awesome. Just wanted to... Oh, I'm a Brisbane fan, and, I mean, there's not much outrage about it. I don't think anyone would really care at all. But, you know, I wish Brisbane would wear a Bears jersey a little bit more often. You know, it might be once every couple of seasons. But, you know, no one in the whole AFL would care. You know, it'd just be a bit nice. No other club would care, yet Brisbane just won't kind of do it for their own heritage.
Well, what do you think? Was the Brisbane Bears an important part of the Brisbane heritage, and should they wear that big yellow and purpley BB jumper that Warwick Kepper made famous?
For retro round, or I don't know, maybe. I don't know whether too many Brisbane fans would care too much about that.
I think that's where the Brisbane Bear jumper lives. The Fitzroy jumper would be more significant than that. That's the one they should be wearing.
And just getting back to that Port Adelaide point about, you know, this is a new club, it's Port Adelaide. In the AFL competition, I think what people have to understand is Port Adelaide don't see it like that. They see it as part of the culture and the history of their football club, the old Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
That's the way they view it,
yep.
Which is the important thing to try and understand.
Yep, indeed.
In my humble opinion, that is.
There's nothing humble about it. It's strong, and that's why we love listening to you.